this music. It's time for Donahue. Phil Donahue was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, and his wife Marlo Thomas is from Detroit and grew up in Beverly Hills, California. But because they met famously here at WGN-TV when Marlo was a guest on Donahue, we consider them one of our favorite Chicago couples. And they're both with us from New York to talk about their book, What Makes a Marriage Last. 40 celebrated couples share with us the secrets to a happy life. Good morning, Phil and Marlo. How are you guys doing?
Good morning.
That music is a very nostalgia for me, I'll say that. I can remember that so well when I first met Phil. That I'll never forget that theme song.
I bet you played that on your anniversary a week or so ago.
I just said to Phil, that's our song, honey.
There are some very revealing, revealing, intimate, and sometimes embarrassing things people told you going through this book. What was your secret to get them to open up? How difficult was it? Did it take hours of conversation before you loosened these friends up?
Well, first of all, I was shocked at how courteous and welcoming they were. And we went in with the idea that maybe we'd have, 20 minutes. And some of them lasted,
3 hours.
It's amazing. They wanted to talk about their marriage.
Because we talked.
Yeah, and if we mentioned our marriage, that just sent them into orbit. It was quite a big surprise for us.
We kind of thought we were going to be like reporters. It was really more like a double date. We sat down, and the topic was just marriage. If you go out with another couple, you don't talk about your marriages all night. And in fact, if you go out with another couple, it may never come up. But since this was about marriage, we spent 2-3 hours with each couple just talking about that topic. And so, of course, we talked about our marriage. When we first went out, my husband said to me, I'm not talking about our marriage. And I said, that's fine. We don't have to. But, of course, we did. And that's what made, as Phil said, that's what really made the conversation roll. Because once we started talking, then we started talking as a double date. So it was really way more fun than we had expected.
Was there a common theme, among the happiest couples you talked to, or a common problem or obstacle?
Well, first of all, the couples that we chose, whose marriages have lasted, were people who were very serious about the marriage.
Right.
And they wanted this marriage, both of them. They wanted it to survive.
They were very committed to it. Many of them went to couples counseling, which is, a difficult thing to do, to bare your souls in front of, this sort of interpreter. Bryan Cranston and his wife, Robin Dearden, go to a couples therapist every now and then. And he said it's not really as a referee, but as an interpreter, somebody to say, oh, that's what she meant by that, or this is why he does that, which is a way of kind of taking the rough edges off of the tension. So I think that Phil's right. What they had in common was a really serious desire to keep the marriage together. As Kira Sedgwick said so succinctly, she said, you can't go into marriage with a plan B. You got to go in all in and not be looking for an escape route. And when you say about challenges, there wasn't one challenge, but they all had challenges.
Yeah, that was the pop-up part of this experience. And it really was an experience for me, anyway.
Yeah, for both of us. Because they had alcoholism, like Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka. There was drug abuse, like Jamie Lee Curtis. Kira and Kevin lost all their money to Bernie Madoff, 30 years of savings. Jesse Jackson wandered away from the marriage and had a child out of his marriage. So they had to deal with his infidelity. So there's absolutely nothing that our couples hadn't gone through. Sick children, sick spouses, like Michael J. Fox, a lifelong diagnosis of Parkinson's. Everything you can imagine would be an obstacle in a marriage or a challenge. So all faced it, and they faced it together. I mean, they just went right through the fire, and it was and did not look for the exit sign.
I read, Phil, that one of the obstacles you overcame in your marriage to Marlo, and I want to get to what your secret to a happy married life is, but Phil Donahue had to overcome being a little jealous. Do I have that right, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, you haven't lived until your wife makes a movie with Kris Kristofferson at the height of his popularity. It had a love scene that lasted about 2.5 years, I thought. And, I got through it somehow. But it also reminded me how draining jealousy can be and how liberating it was for me to, with Marlo's help, to get past it and to be able to deal with it without, all the things that go on in your head. Who was making a movie in Boston?
Oh, yeah. Mark Consuelos and Kelly Ripa. He was making a movie in Boston, and it was before cell phones. He couldn't reach her all day, so he got a bad feeling, and he raced home on the plane without telling her and, ran into the apartment. He opened the door. He ran right past her. He was sure that there was somebody in the apartment, and she said, "When are you going to stop doing this?" So jealousy, can be very difficult for both people. It's hard on the person who's jealous, and it's hard on the person who's the object of that jealousy, because it's really nothing you've done. It's something that they have inside of themselves, their own feelings. And so, actually, when we first started going out together, Phil said to me, "I've never dated an actress before. How will I know, when you're not acting?" And I think that was something that he had to deal with, which I grew up in Hollywood where everybody was an actor, so I never really thought about that. But I realized that's something he's going to have to deal with, and I think jealousy was one of the ways. But you haven't been jealous in 20 years.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah, since it's been great. It was very difficult for a while.
Marlo, your show, That Girl, paved the way for shows years later about successful single career women like Mary Tyler Moore. And at the time, you and Lucille Ball were the only women to produce their own series. So you've obviously always been a strong, opinionated, smart person, and you live with a guy who's got those same qualities. Isn't that a recipe for tremendous arguments and big-time fireworks? I want to know about the last good fight you two had.
Well, there certainly were a lot of fireworks, especially in the first couple of years, because we didn't live together. I was working in L.A., and he was working in Chicago, and he was raising his four boys. So we were traveling a great deal, though married. It was very, very difficult. And I think the biggest fight we ever had, which broke us up before we got married, was over traveling and the time. I wanted him to be in L.A. when I wanted him there. He wanted me in Chicago, and he wanted me there. And we just couldn't make it work. And so we did have a big blow-up, and we broke up for 3 months. And I always say to people who are nervous about whether or not this is the guy or this is the woman, I always say, you know what, separate for a while. And before you get married, give yourself some time away, because that was really what cinched it for us. When we took that 3 months apart from each other, really feeling that we were never going to see each other again, I went and started dating other people, and so did Phil. But we really missed each other a lot, and so we, got back together and decided to put our crazy lives together. But I think that's the biggest fight we ever had, and it was a rough one. Everybody has little fights all day long. You said you'd do this, I said I'd do that. You said you'd send the envelope, you didn't send the envelope. Whatever the heck it is. But James Carville gave us a great recipe for that.
Carville had the best advice. When you find yourself going around and around on a Mickey Mouse issue, sooner or later, if you say, it's a cliche, but it works.
It does.
And it worked for him. Kick that can down the road. And every marriage has a pile of cans along the way. And, you know, it really
helps. I mean, we had just gotten off the road from our book, and Phil and I were going around and around in one of those stupid arguments, and he said to me, why don't we just kick this can down the road? And the minute he said it, it was so liberating. It's like, this is such a stupid argument, and people have them. We do, everybody does, all the time, and they're just a waste of time and energy. But to just say kick the can down the road, really, it lets you off the hook, you know?
Yeah, and it makes us feel good to hear about everybody else's problems, that we're not the only ones. Everybody has some sort of struggle. But I think in this age of therapy, it's good to know that sometimes good advice is don't deal with it. Kick the can down the road. Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas, the book is What Makes a Marriage Last. More to come here. Talking with Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas. And by the way, you can see Marlo, that girl, on Antenna TV every day and also on weekends. Marlo, does Phil walk around the house saying, is the caller there? And yelling at TV talk show hosts? Oops, wait, I forgot to press their button. I'm sorry, we didn't hear that. What was that, Marlo?
I said, no, he doesn't do that anymore. He did that for a few years. He doesn't do that anymore. He's gotten over it. I was thinking as we were taking the break that one of the things we didn't really talk about, and that is a real appreciation for the other person. You know, you could talk about, well, how do you fight? How do you come back from a fight and all that kind of stuff, and even a commitment to the marriage. But appreciating the difference of the other person. You know, at first, when you're first married, you're kind of annoyed that he's not more like you and she's not more like you. But the truth is that, Judy Vior said, no matter how hard you try, he's never going to be me and I'm never going to be him. So accept all the differences and start to see that they really are nice. I mean, the fact that he's more laid back than I am, and I'm more of a fuss budget than he is, used to annoy each other. But now he kind of appreciates the fact he calls me a water bug because I'm running around so much. And I appreciate the fact that he's more thoughtful and doesn't get us into panic places where I might. But we didn't see that at first. We were too busy focusing on how the differences annoyed us. And I think as you go on in a marriage, you realize those differences are, first of all, they belong to the other person that you love. And second of all, they can really help each other because they are things that fit and complement what the other person doesn't have. And that does take a while to get a hold of that.
Well, you know what?
Don't you think, honey?
Go ahead, Phil.
I think it's all about... you know, it's about maturation, about beginning to really understand your mate and to understand why certain accommodations have to be made and that, you know, avoid arguments that are based on, you know, you're different than I am.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, accept the difference. And you're different than she is. So... you know, don't get highfalutin about it, because whatever problems you're imagining your spouse to bring to the marriage, you're doing the same thing.
And sometimes they're actually a blessing. It's a blessing that Phil, I used to get mad that Phil, I'd say, come on, get into this. And then I realized his not getting into something as quickly as I do in many ways puts the brakes on things that we probably shouldn't have done. Took me a while to do that, to understand that. And he started to understand just because I'm rushing for the phone and wanting to put something together doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't do it. He needs to just think a little harder about, well, maybe that is a good idea. So you kind of start to appreciate how the other person is not like you. And that does take a while. But once you do, it's really like a firecracker in your brain. You say, wow. This is a blessing. This isn't a curse. This is a good thing.
Well, Marlo, you have a lot of fans here in the Midwest, and of course we love Phil here, so we're grateful, Marlo, that you saved him and gave him a full, meaningful, happy life.
True,
he gave me one, too.
and I think one of the best bits of advice from the book, and Marlo, maybe you said this, it's not the other person's job to make you happy. That is something we all need to remember, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
It wasn't my advice. It was several people's advice. Mariska Hargitay's husband, Peter Herman, said that. He said, if you get married to make the other, have the other person make you happy, it will fail. What happiness comes from what you build together, not the other person. He said, if you want the other person to make you happy, then after a couple of years when you're not happy, you'll blame that person and move on. And another person who might make you happy until you're about 90 years old and you realize it was you all along, because there nobody else can make you happy. I think Rob Reiner put it nicely too. He said, you got to work your own side of the street first. You got to get yourself together. You know, you have to clean up your act and smooth off your rough edges and bring that to your spouse. You can't bring yourself without any work on yourself and expect the other person to make it okay for you.
Phil, I know you once did an afternoon radio talk show in Dayton back in the 60s. Why not do that again? These days you could do it right from your house. I'm sure it would be fun. It would give Marlo a break from you, and you could test it out right here on GN. I would suggest maybe 5 until 7 in the morning.
I've been nagging him to do this.
Yeah, from 5 until 7 in the morning.
No. I've been nagging you to do a radio show because he's everywhere we go, people say, Phil, we miss you. We miss your voice. Yeah, I think he should, too.
Yeah, consider it, Phil.
Well, thank you for the...
Thanks, Bob.
It's so great to talk to both of you. Marlo, one of my great thrills was meeting your dad back in the 70s at a St. Jude charity event. And, of course, running into Phil here and being on Donahue's show here back in the day. I think, Phil, though, that was one of the shows that was so good with radio disc jockeys. You didn't put it into syndication. It just aired locally. But still, it was fun.
Yeah. Like your radio, right?
Sure. WGN really was a mecca for the radio wave. My goodness. It was a lucky place to be if you were going to do that kind of work.
Yeah. What about you, Bob? Are you married?
I've been married 20 years now. Second time is a charm. Mm-hmm. Met my wife on a TV set as well when we were doing Fox Thing in the Morning here back in the, whenever that was, 90s.
Good for you.
And the book is great. It's got like 600 pages, a lot to learn here. Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue, What Makes a Marriage Last, 40 Celebrated Couples Share With Us the Secrets to a Happy Life. Great catching up with you two. Stay healthy and all the best to you.
And good luck to you and your wife.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
And that'll do it for us today. Good talking to those two. They're in New York, and they're doing some like Facebook cooking demonstrations and so forth. So, and the book is it's a pretty hefty lesson on marriage. Highly recommended.